Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we seek to give you a message of truth. Please check out our website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files, also a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship period at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all those services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. Please come and visit us. We would love to see you. A few weeks ago, the beginning of this month to be exact, we started the subject together of drilling Bible basics, and we have been looking at some very fundamental issues that we need to understand, the basic fundamental elementary principles of truth that we might grow in our faith. Today, we're going to talk about something that is very, very important, and we may spend more than 1 week, but it's something that we want to make sure that we understand completely, and that is establishing Bible authority. The understanding of the need for authority and the ability to establish such Bible authority is one of the most fundamental things that every Christian should master and come to understand. Unfortunately, it is one of the most neglected and untaught subjects today, and this has contributed to a generation that does not know God nor His will for today, much like what we can read during the period of the Judges, back in Judges 2 and verse 10. It only takes one untaught generation to have an abandonment of the truth. The failure to instill the need for establishing Bible authority will bring rebellion and apostasy against God's ways. Example is Israel of old and secular history and recent times. When men leave the pages of God's Word, which is His authority, and whatever direction they go in will be the wrong direction. Many have grown up without understanding Bible authority. Thus, we hear more about a lack of respect for the authority of the Scripture, and the examples of apostasy that are among us today are rampant in many. And so we need to understand, how does one establish Bible authority? The first question we need to ask and answer is there a need for Bible authority? Let's begin this morning by reading in an account that we find in Matthew 21 when Jesus tackled this subject in His day and was confronted with this same question. In Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 23, the Scripture says, "Now when He came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Him as He was teaching, and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'I also will ask you one thing, which, if you will tell me, likewise I will tell you by what authority I do these things. From the baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, He will say to us, why then did you not believe it? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet.' So they answered Jesus and said, 'We do not know.'" Their answer demonstrated their hypocrisy. It demonstrated that they really didn't want to know. But those two questions deserve answers. Those two questions deserve answers today. By what authority do you teach the things you teach? Wherever you might attend worship, wherever you might be a member of the church that you belong to, you need to know the answer to that question. By what authority do they teach the things that they teach? Whose authority are they using? And then the second question, that's just as important, is where did they get that authority? Did they get it from a religious hierarchy? Did they get it from their headquarters? Did they get it from their organization, their human headquarters, a human organization, or did they get it from God? Those are two questions that every person in every religious institution today needs to ask, and it needs to be answered, and it needs to be answered truthfully. Jesus now has all authority in heaven and on earth. He said that himself in Matthew 28, verse 18, where he says, "All authority in heaven and earth have been given to me." Every bit of spiritual authority, and he thus saith the Lord, for whatever men do spiritually must and has continued to reside in Jesus Christ. He is the one with supreme authority. In Ephesians 1, verse 22, he was made head of the church and authority over all things. Nobody has it. He didn't delegate it to anyone else. He didn't delegate it to any organization. He didn't delegate it to philosophies and creeds. It resides in him and in him alone. We must have divine authority for all that we say and all that we do. Let's read a couple of scriptures. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. The scripture says, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Everything we do, in word or deed, must have a "thus saith the Lord." In Acts 2, verse 42, these early Christians were commended because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means the teaching of the apostles. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, we read that we are to speak as the oracles of God. The oracles of God are the sayings of God. And that's the only thing that men are to speak according to spiritual authority. Now, we must learn not to go beyond what is written. We want to read two passages this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. Chapter 4 and verse number 6. "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one and the other." To learn not to go beyond what is written. When one goes beyond the Bible, they go beyond what is written. And when they go beyond what is written, then they lose something. What do they lose? They lose their fellowship with God. Turn with me to 2 John. 2 John, beginning in verse 9. In 2 John, beginning in verse 9, we read, "Whoever transgresses." What does that word "transgress" mean? It means to go beyond, and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? One who transgresses, that means goes beyond what we read in 1 Corinthians 4, 6. One that does not have, in word or deed, the authority of Christ that we read in Colossians 3, 17. When one goes beyond that, they leave behind the Father and the Son. And when they leave that behind, then they don't have God's approval, nor do they have God's authority. And in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if one doesn't speak from the Bible, he does not speak the oracles of God. And so we cannot go beyond what is written. Divine authority is found in what God has revealed on the subject, not in what is not said. What is not said does not give us liberty to act according to our own thinking, our own innuendo, our own philosophy, and our own biblical theories. We must rein ourselves in to follow strictly what God has revealed, no more and no less. We should demand Bible authority for everything that we practice and everything that we do. When someone asks me why I do something, I must respond with a book, a chapter, and a verse. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be able to answer people's questions of why we do what we do and what authority do we have by doing it that way. And then we need to explain who gave us that authority. That is the need for Bible authority. Whatever you do in worship must have a thus saith the Lord. However you worship God today on this Lord's Day, you should have authority for every act of worship that you participate in this morning. Why? Because you need a thus saith the Lord. In John 4, verse 24, Jesus said that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Whatever things that you do in worship in order to please God must come from God's word, or it is apostasy. The same can be said for the work of the church. Anything that we do for the cause of Christ, anything that we do in his name, and anything that we label as a work of the church must have a thus saith the Lord behind it. If there is not a book, chapter, and verse for that action, then it is not the action of God, it is the action of men. And the action of men will not be accepted by God. Why? Because they don't have his approval. God's approval can only be found in his word. Anything outside the word does not have his approval, therefore it must be rejected. Let me just give you one example this morning, and then we'll continue this next Lord's Day. Let's talk about what must a man do to be saved. What must a man do to be saved? Well, the Bible's very plain. I'll give you the simple answer. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. Mark 16, 16. Acts 2, 38. They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. That's what the answer was when men asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? We also read that same answer when the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? In Acts chapter 8. In all of these cases, the people who answered those questions came with a thus saith the Lord. But many people today in the religious world, they don't believe in baptism. They think it's non-essential. They think it's a good work. They think it might be a good thing to do, but it's not necessary because you're already saved before you ever come to the water. Well, where is that found in the Bible? Show me a Bible verse where it says that. Or show me an example where somebody's saved without being fully obedient to the gospel. Where is your thus saith the Lord for that? If you don't have one, then it is a teaching of men. Here's the easy way to remember this, ladies and gentlemen. Can you put your finger on the verse for what you do in every act of worship, in what you did to be saved? Can you take your Bible, can you open it up and put your finger on every verse where you had authority for what you did and what you're doing? If you can't do that, then you are not acting by the authority of God. You don't have the authority of Christ. And if you don't have his authority, we read in 2 John 9 that you don't have the Father and the Son. Question. What kind of spiritual condition are you in, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have the Father and you don't have the Son? To ask the question is to answer it. We'll continue next.